A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, how you doing? It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. And let's see, by God's grace, we're going to have a good radio show here. I hope you want to give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your phone. Feel free to give me a call. If you're newbie to the show, what we do here is answer questions on the Bible, theology, cults, Roman Catholicism, atheism, Mormonism, you know, all kind of stuff. And we try and give good biblical answers. So if you like that, you want to listen, please continue. If you don't, hey, listen anyway. I just might say something that'll irritate you enough to want to keep listening. That happens a lot. And my name is Matt Slick, for real, Matt Slick Live. It happens to be a great radio name. It is my real name. And that's it. So if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tony from Georgia. Tony, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. What do you got, buddy?
So, can you help me understand this? I'm not a Calvinist. Are the elect born neutral?
I don't understand the question. Are they born neutral?
Well, because I've heard you taught that Jesus died for our sins 2,000 years ago on the cross before we ever believed.
Mm-hmm.
So, would they be born if at birth? Are they not under the wrath of God then?
This is what we call in theology the now and the not yet. And I'm going to answer your question, but I got to lay a little bit of a foundation down first on what is going on.
Okay.
The now and the not yet is a perspective within biblical theology where we proclaim things now that are not yet. So if we were to go, for example, to Romans 8:29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined." Now that's predestined is past tense. "To become conformed to the image of his son, so that he be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30, "Those whom he predestined," past tense, "those he also called," past tense, "these whom he called," past tense, "he also justified," past tense, "these whom he justified," past tense, "he also glorified." That's past tense. But glorification is something that occurs later on. We know this out of 1 Corinthians 15, 35-45, the glorification of the body. It's future, but it's spoken of in the past tense. Why is it spoken of in the past tense? Because we are so secure in Christ that God's work is so secure that we're said to be glorified. This is a good argument for eternal security as well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this verse be there. If we could lose our salvation, we can't said to be glorified. But it's not really happened yet, but it's so guaranteed that it's said to be that way. So this is an example of the now and the not yet. Does that make sense?
So far.
Okay. So our sin is imputed to Christ. To impute means to reckon to another's account. It's a legal transference because sin is breaking the law of God, 1 John 3:4. So our sins were imputed to Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. And it says in Colossians 2:14 that he canceled the certificate of debt, having nailed it to the cross, the sin debt. So if you cancel the sin debt on the cross, that's what's really interesting. It's not canceled when you believe. It's not canceled when you get baptized. But you are justified when you believe, because justification is different than being glorified. So justification is different than the propitiatory sacrifice where Christ canceled the sin debt. Okay? So...
okay.
What we would say is that it was the sin debt was removed at the cross, canceled at the cross, but it's not applied. Well, you know, we can't say that. I'm going to say it slowly because I want it to be clear. The sin debt is canceled at the cross. Now, I believe it's only canceled for the ones given to him by the Father. And so, hold on one sec.
Okay.
And so, I lost my train of thought, sorry. So it was canceled at the cross. And it's canceled, I believe, only for the elect. And then God will bring those elect into faith, and then you become justified when you believe. Make sense? Are you there?
I don't understand the spiritual state. Like, for example, I believed in my college years, so what was my spiritual state before then?
So then what we would say is a now and a not yet. The now is that your sins were paid for, but you are not yet justified. So it's this in-between kind of a weird thing. It's a great question, and people ask it. So if what we understand is that Jesus Christ removed the sin debt for the elect, and he will infallibly bring them into a saving place, and when they believe, that's when they're going to be justified. When they're justified, that's when the declaration of the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to them. That's Philippians 3:9. We have a righteousness that's not our own, because we're justified by faith without the works of the law. Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, Romans 5:1. Okay?
Okay.
Make sense?
I guess. So the street preacher that I listened to that said I was under the wrath of God, I wasn't really under the wrath of God.
What street preacher?
When I'm in college, they have different street preachers come out.
Okay.
And, you know, they're hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah.
And they would say stuff like...
I'm hearing some noises in the background. I'm just sorry. There's noises
in
the
background. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
I apologize.
So what... give me some names of one or two of them. I'm just curious.
I think it's Brother Jed or Brother Jeb.
Okay.
But Topson, I'm sorry. I just don't understand that in between state of best off from birth until the moment of justification.
The elect sins are paid for, but it's not imputed. The righteousness of Christ is not imputed till they believe. And in that interim state is what we call into the theological perspective, what we call the now and the not yet. Just like
the
redeemed, the justified, are not yet glorified, but it's said to be glorified because it's so secure. Well, how can that be? Well, because that's how it is in the mind of God. It's absolute. So the elect whom are given to Christ, John 6:37, whom Christ paid for, Colossians 2:14. Romans 5:18. Therefore, when they believe, they are then justified by faith. Then, okay.
Okay, I guess I'll accept that.
That's what it is. That's it. If you think of it this way, from the foundation of the earth, we were chosen for salvation in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:4. I just read that. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and blameless. So we're chosen by God in Christ. In Christ means He represented us. So the inter-Trinitarian communion of the election and redemptive work of God is a Trinitarian effort. It's not that the Father chose and gave them to the Son, and the Son went, oh, I guess I'll go for that. It wasn't like that. They were chosen in Christ, because it's the eternal nature of the Trinitarian communion, which we call, well, I won't get into these words. And so because of that, when we see this, we can recognize that the election of people, because God chooses, that's what election is, to choose, election twos, that's the same thing in Greek, eklektos, eklegomai, eklekleia. And so these things are in the Greek, and they mean to be chosen, to choose, to be called, and they're used of the people of God, given to Christ, and chosen by God in Christ. Well then, Jesus on the cross paid for their sins, He canceled their sin debt, Colossians 2:14. But that all of them, for example, you, me, and others alive today, all of our sins were future. So they were paid for on the cross, but not yet realized, let's just say, until we believe. So there's an example of the now and the not yet. Make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's...
Do you have an article in Karm about this?
I don't know. I've got thousands, so I can't remember if I've got one or not on that.
Okay.
What I'd suggest you do is go there. This is more technical, so I don't really write those too much. I can, but a lot of times people just don't get them. But it teaches me that I need to be able to write those kinds of things, because people are answering that particular question more and more. And I need to do the theology, the now and the not yet, and then go in there and show different perspectives in the scripture that talks about God's calling us from the foundation of the world, giving us to the Son before the foundation of the world, but it's not manifested until we live. So it's the eternal now for God, but not yet for us. That's really what it comes down to. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, Matt.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
All right. Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you. Okay. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Courtney, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
So my question is, I was wondering, like, what your thoughts are on the peace deal that was just made between Israel and the UAE, and, you know, Trump being involved in his administration.
I do not know. I spent Thursday and Friday conference stuff, Saturday with some people. We're having CARM meetings. I haven't even had a chance to hardly look at anything. And I broke away from a meeting to come and do the radio. Then we got more stuff to do after. So that's my excuse. It's a pretty good one, actually. And that's it. So I don't know what else to tell you about that, though. You know?
Okay.
All right. Sorry. let's see.
No problem.
Okay. But you have any other questions? Because tell you what, why don't you help me out? Why don't you fill me in a little bit about what it is? Because I am that ignorant. I've seen it. I just haven't even read anything on it yet.
Well, so, from what I know about it, so Israel made a kind of a land for peace plan with the UAE countries, and that they agreed to not annex Judean Samaria, I think. So they were going to annex it. So I didn't know, I wasn't 100% sure. Is their land, correct? Was one of the things I was wondering about.
Who's the there? That is their land. Who's the there?
Israel. That's their land that they wanted to annex, Israel's land? Is one of the things I was wondering.
I don't know. I'd have to know what land it was. And I'd go back to the Old Testament and see what boundaries they had to say it is land, God's land or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I couldn't tell you.
I don't know a whole lot about it myself either, so that's why I was asking. I was just wondering your thoughts on it. But if you hear anything about it...
No, that's all I know. Yeah, that's it. I haven't heard anything, so other than that, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
That's okay. All okay. Right. Well, thanks for trying.
All right. You're welcome. Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, God bless. Oops. Sorry about that. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Ray from Vancouver. Sorry about that, buddy. What do you got,
Ron?
Man? Yeah.
Ron.
Okay, Ron. Sorry about that, Ron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been a member for CARM for I don't know how long, and I support you guys.
Can you hold? We got a break. Can you hold on? Could we be right back, okay? Sorry about that. It was a heartbreak.
Okay.
We got to take it. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have one open line, 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Why don't we get back to Ron from Vancouver, Washington. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'm on the Mormon debate line on your website, and I'm always get knocked off, and I was wondering what's the problem with...
It's the forums.
You may not be able to get back.
Let me help you out here. Let me tell you what's going on with the forums. It's hard to describe, but for months I've been having nothing but problems with the forums. And I went to a different server, and problems continued. I had another company install it. Problems are continuing. I don't have any idea what's going on. And it's not happening not only to me, but others inside the system. I'm even beginning to wonder if there's a hacker that's hacked inside something and is playing games. We can't get stuff to work.
Could be a Mormon hacker.
Could be an atheist hacker. It could be that something's just wrong somewhere with their software or some. I don't even know. I've got a ticket in, and I have to go look at it today just to see if they've even looked at it, at the issue. And it's a major issue, and we're trying to get it fixed. And it's been, let's just say, very difficult to do. Okay?
Yeah, because I'm a subscriber, and I'd like to be on. I'd like to debate.
Well, you know what? All I can say is just be patient. I'm working on it. I have spent days and days working on it, and I can't get it to work. And I've been got a lot of people here at the house. We're doing car meetings. It just became a storm of things right now that we're trying to work through. But I'm going to get them going one way or another.
All right. And
whenever this kind of thing happens, it always makes the site stronger, okay? So I do apologize, though. All right? We're working it,
thank
though.
You.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. All right. Let's get to Sam from North Carolina. Sam, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for picking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, there's something I'm really bothering me. I've been going on. I don't know whether it's come to awareness. There have been a lot of massacre of the Christians
in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been going on, and none of any big media or this Western media have ever been announcing or talking about it. So it's really a big concern, and a lot of safety Christians in Nigeria are no more safe right now.
Right.
So it's been going on for a long time, and nothing has been done about it.
Yeah, we talked about this a week or so ago, and someone was asking if they could get a hold of President Trump to get in there and stop this, because the Muslims are killing Christians and destroying churches, and the media says nothing about it. Nothing about it.
That's the sad part of it, is that Christians, every day that thousands and thousands of Christians are being slaughtered.
Yep.
And nothing has been heard about it. None of any big media has been talking about it. So it's been a big concern for most of us that have our family members there. We have a lot of us been affected already in one way or the other.
Well, I don't know, tell you, other than we can start praying about that, put it on a prayer list. I don't have any power.
Yeah, we've been praying for it forever. We've been praying. I will tell you, we have a lot of Christians, people that are even praying. Why they are praying, they still come in there and they slaughter all of them.
Yeah.
It's very sad. It's too very sad.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just a very sad situation right now.
Yeah, it is. And, I don't know what to tell you. I just wish I had the ability to make changes there. But the fact that you call and the fact that you let people know, it means we can pray, and more people can pray. What you need to pray for is have the Muslims stop killing Christians because they're Christians. But without people knowing there's a problem, people don't pray. And the government's not going to do anything. But I wish that they would do something. But if the news media, or if it was Muslims being killed, the news media would be all to their defense. Yes.
Just mentioning, at least if you come to awareness, because the thing is that because they'll be subduing the everything going on, they won't allow especially the Western news media to know what is going on there. And people are being slaughtered on daily basis, Christians slaughtered, and they can hear it on this, or Western media can carry it. So how will people know? And people are dying. So it's really concerning. And
it
they keep
concerning.
On going unless something is done.
Right. Yeah, and thanks for reminding me again so I can start praying. My wife and I pray nightly, and we'll just put this on our prayer list. I don't know what else to do, but I would suggest that Christians start praying about this, and if they can, call their senators and congressmen and say, what are you guys going to do about this the massacres that are occurring by Muslims upon the Christians in Nigeria? You know, what can you do? The Nigerian government needs to step in and stop it, but the Nigerian government's not doing it. And
They're not at all.
So, yeah, it's bad news. It is. So, we need to pray for them, at the very least. So,
okay. I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks.
All right, man. Well, God bless. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Goodbye. Now, folks, it's something we do need to pray about. Not just pray, but if we can, if we had phone numbers to call, call the news media. We Christians need to be far more organized and make far more demands of the people in our government, news media. You know, it'll happen. If we make enough noise, they'll start focusing on things. But we got to start praying to begin with. Let's get to Deborah from Winston-Salem. Deborah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. I have a question. I was listening to a Bible teaching just the other day, and he was saying that he was teaching on Abraham, but he was also saying that Abraham was a Gentile, and so was Noah. That's before, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to know whether or not, I mean, I have never heard that before, so, but this was before, you know, before they became the elect, you know, before all that. But
let's define our terms.
I have looked through my Bible. I have looked online. I got to call Matt to find out. He would know where to find it. I was just curious to know whether or not if Abraham was a Gentile and Noah was a Gentile at the beginning.
Let's define our terms. Well, there's a break.
Okay.
So hold on. Okay. And we'll get back to it right after the break. Okay, we'll talk about what a Gentile is, and then we can answer the question, okay? All right. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines still. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Deborah, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so is Noah and are Noah and Abraham Gentiles, or were they Gentiles, right?
Right, were they Gentiles?
A Gentile is a non-Jew. Now, what's a Jew?
Right.
So a Jew is someone who is a descendant of Abraham in the land of Israel. That's what a Jew is. So Abraham, we could say, wasn't a Jew at one point. He got called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he became, so to speak, the first Jew. Now, that's in a very broad way.
Right.
But Judaism actually kind of came up later with different terms and different designations. Now, Noah was way before all of that. So Noah was a Gentile, and Abraham was a Gentile. But then Abraham is the beginning of the Jewish nation, and then the term Jew came in later. Okay?
Right. Yeah, I thought when I heard that, and I was like, "Really?" I didn't know that in depth. You know, I didn't know. I just was never really a thought, you know, about it. So I just wanted to call you to make sure that I heard this correctly. You know, so I did hear it correctly.
Yeah. Now here's the key: always define terms.
Okay.
What is meant by Gentile? What is meant by Jew? Always define the terms first, and then we can answer questions. So that's all you got to do.
Okay.
So, you know, like, if I were to go on the web right now, define Jew, all right? It says a member of the people and cultural community whose tradition religion is Judaism and who trace their origins through the ancient Hebrews people of Israel to Abraham. That's pretty good.
Right.
It's sufficient.
Right.
All right? So we would say, well, no, obviously it wasn't. So Abraham, we could say in this definition, he was the first Jew. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome. All right. God bless. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. If you want to give me a call, folks, you have four open lines. Don't make me come out here and talk to you. You call me. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Kelly from North Carolina. Kelly, welcome. You are on the air.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm well, sir. I'm calling you because I began to do some research on the NAR movement.
Yeah.
I listen to you often.
Good.
I have come across both Justin Peters' ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also come across this gentleman named Josh Chavez, maybe, Service Christie.
Mm-hmm.
They both seem to be exposing false teachers, and but now I'm seeing that there is some bickering going back and forth in some of the research that I'm doing. I wanted to know how sound you found those two platforms in my course of research on that type of thing, false teachers.
Well, so what's your question then? What was your question?
Whether or not you felt they were reliable in terms of places to go for information.
You mean the Service Christi?
Justin Peters.
Justin Peters. Okay.
Yeah,
Justin Peters, absolutely yes. Okay, I know Justin, all right. And he and I disagree on a couple of things, but they're minor things. I believe in the continuation of the charismatic gifts. He doesn't. That doesn't really matter. But his stuff on exposing these wacko guys and girls on TV, radio, etc., you can trust Justin. So if he says it, you can trust him. Okay? Good stuff.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Service Christie?
A little bit. During the break, I just did a little bit of research, and there's warning flags about it. And basically, there's some problems there, so I'd kind of stay away from there. All right? I need to do analysis on it.
I'm seeing now some controversy about him. I had seen some things that seemed to be sound, but now in just even researching him, I'm seeing...
Right. Yeah, Chris Roseborough, he's an apologist. He did some stuff and said there's problems with it, which I've not checked out thoroughly, but you can check out the article that he's written by... written Chris Roseborough and Service Christie, and you can see what some of the issues are. He said he's teaching some bad stuff. I've talked to Chris before. Chris is a good guy, and so you can check that out. But there's generally a lot of people have done a lot of work. We're so backlogged at CARM right now with a transfer to a new site, new modification. We haven't had time to go in and do research on kind of catch up on about 50 people we got to catch up on. So we're working frantically to get out of that place. I'm sorry?
No, I'm sorry. I said understood.
You're just what?
I understand you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. Well, good. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right.
So, Matt, if I can just ask one last thing.
Sure.
What is your position, or what does the word say about the offices of apostles and prophets today?
It doesn't say anything.
That'll be the end.
It doesn't say anything for today. A prophet is, there aren't any more prophets in the Old Testament, in a sense. It's done away with. A lot of the prophets were until John, and that's Luke 16:16. So there's no more prophets in that Old Testament style, but there are prophets in the New Testament. You go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 range. Romans 12 talks about prophets. What they are those who prophesy the future. But even their prophecies must be judged by the church. If they're to be judged by the church, then what that means is that they don't have this highfalutin authoritative place where whatever they says is true. What's happening in the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, you have apostles and prophets, and the prophets are of high, high caliber, and what they say is basically to be just taken as truth. And so that's unbiblical. Don't do it. They're to be judged. Their prophecies are to be judged by the church. Now, that's if you can believe in the continuation of the charismatic gifts. But if you don't, well, then the office of prophet in that sense is done away with, period. There's no office. The charismatic movement in a person or in the body of Christ would be done away with, so it wouldn't be in that sense. As far as apostles go, the word apostle is used in seven different contexts, seven different manners in the New Testament. Jesus is called an apostle. There were 12 apostles. People who were sent were simply an apostle. There was false apostles. And I have an article on this. I forgot what the title of it is, but just look up the word apostle. You'll end up finding the article. But one of the things that Jesus said, or that Paul said, I believe it was in 1 Corinthians 9:1, he said, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the risen Lord?" So he was making his case of his apostleship being somebody who had seen the risen Lord. Now, one of the things that's important here to understand is that when we have in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, I don't know the exact verses, where the disciples were picking a new apostle, a new replacement, a new disciple. And they said, you know, because Judas killed himself, so they got Matthias. What they had to do was say, let's find someone who can replace him who has been with us from the beginning, seen these things. So it seems to be that an apostle has to be someone who was there at the time and saw the risen Lord, because that's how Paul the Apostle defends his apostleship, because he was playing off the issue of Acts 1. When you see on TV, apostle, whatever his name, walking up, and he'll bring the word today, I just want to throw a rock at him. I'm sorry, but you're not an apostle. You know, I'm prophet so-and-so. I'm apostle so-and-so. I just see that as being a self-aggrandizement. They're just lifting themselves up. I don't see any way where that is for the church today. And I remember, I believe in the charismatic gifts. But if you were to go to, for example, in Ephesians 4, 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. So some call that the fivefold ministry, but it's actually fourfold, because in the Greek it says he gave some as the apostles and some as the prophets and some as the evangelists and some as the pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers are present, and they're very similar to each other. But and evangelists are today too. But the prophets are the Old Testament, but the prophets in the New Testament are those who prophesy. And the apostles are those who had seen the risen Lord. So I don't buy their categorizations, self-categorizations. I don't see it biblically defined. Now, they may call themselves an apostle, they're sent from God. Well, you know, I've been called an apostle. I've had people say, "Matt, you're like an apostle." Why? Because you break ground, you correct error, you're authoritative in your pronouncements. And I say, "Well, I appreciate that, but I'm not an apostle." And I don't accept that title, because it's just, I haven't seen the risen Lord. I wasn't there. So, it makes sense?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I appreciate that humble and thorough answer. And it aligns with what I am learning as I study. And so I appreciate very much your taking time to answer that. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome. Well, God bless.
Have a good evening, sir. God bless
you.
You
too.
Bye.
All right. Let's just jump over to Scott after the break. There's the music. We have three open lines, folks. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back. Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick. All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. And we just had a little bit of an issue here. I got to get back into the Comrex. So if you guys don't mind waiting just for one little bit, because right when I came back on, the Comrex issue crashed on me. It takes about 5 seconds for me to get back in. Right there. I got to rebuild my computer pretty soon. All right, let's get to Scott from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, Matt, I got a question. In Ecclesiastes 12,
mm-hmm.
the first verse, Okay. My translation is a little different than most of them. Can I read my translation to you?
Sure.
My one verse?
Sure.
Okay. It says, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and no longer enjoy living. It will be too late then to remember Him."
Mm-hmm.
When I see that, it rings a bell. You know, I mean, it chimes in, but harmonizes or something with my other beliefs. But I just wondered if you ever had any reason to think that it would be too late to be converted
for you
later on in life.
Are you okay? This verse is basically about those people, because I did a little bit of research in the break. I was able to research this. So it looks like what it's talking about is basically, look, youth, get it together now. You're going to have problems later on if you don't. And that's a very loose way of looking at it, but this is the kind of thing. Remember also the Creator of the days of your youth, before the evil days come, before things in the future to you hit you, and the years draw near when you will say, "I have no delight in them." So it's talking about paying attention now, because it's bad stuff's coming later. Now that's my cursory examination of it. Now, you talked about, can you use this about the issue of repentance and being converted later?
Well, yeah, I mean, my translation, like I said, I'll make a comment on translations if I could. I find translations, alternate translations, are much more effective than Bible commentaries, as far as enlightening, shedding light on them.
Well,
dim subjects sometimes.
Yeah, what I would do is, if you're going to use different translations, I don't know which one that was quoting from. It sounded like the Living Translation.
New,
I don't know. What? The what?
The New Living Translation.
Okay. So it's very loose, and that has its place. But I would recommend you have, for example, the NASB and the ESV, and another Bible, that's fine, and just compare them. But you want the literalness of the ESV and the NASB, but it's kind of cool to have a Living Bible translation for those who have, they have a little more trouble understanding a few things. It helps, but you got to be careful with the Living, because it's almost like it's interpreted the way it's done, and most of it's pretty good. But you got to be careful and wary at the same time. Okay?
I got one more quick question if we got time.
One really fast. Go ahead.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1.
Okay.
"Give generously, or your gifts will return to you later. Divide your gifts among many, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead." What I'm thinking is, it's like in business, that'd be like a, well, they say you reap what you sow, so if you sow in your youth to make it a lot better for you in the end, that, if you want to say, and that would be like a casting your bread upon the water, wouldn't it?
Right.
People that,
don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Use your giftings for others. Help out. These things come back to you. It's that kind of a thing. Okay? Cast your bread on the surface.
That's
of
the only place I've seen where you could hide your treasure and it'd be safe.
Yeah. Well, remember, Ecclesiastes is written for those under the sun. It's a very, humanistic, but it's a lot of it, the perspective is from a humanistic perspective. What does it mean under the sun? But it's not humanistic, and as is modern humanism. But you can understand it's from a human perspective. That's what I want to say. So, but this is what's going on in Ecclesiastes there.
Thank you for your time, Matt.
Okay. Well, God bless.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye. If you want to give me a call, folks, we have 8 minutes left in the show. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Juanita from North Carolina. Juanita, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm calling because I heard the gentleman that was from Nigeria, mm-hmm. and he was explaining about the Christians being killed there.
The Christians being killed, yes.
Hello? Yes. Uh-huh. And the Lord spoke to me, and I was going to tell you that tell him that he should read 1 Kings.
I'm having trouble understanding you. Could you? I'm sorry.
Interruptions, yeah. Let's see if I can get in a better place. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. That's better.
Hello?
Okay.
Okay. So I would tell him to go to 1 Kings and read the chapter, and read the one specifically about Jezebel and Ahab. Their spirit still lives today, and there's a lot of sorcery and witchcraft even today. And so, the Lord talks about the principalities of the air.
Let me ask you: do you have a question though?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if he had thought about reading that chapter King.
He was talking about the issue of the Christians being persecuted, being murdered by the Muslims in Nigeria. So 1 Kings 18, the spirit of Jezebel and all that kind of stuff, I'm always wary about that kind of thing. It's not really necessary for him to read that area. What he should be doing is focusing on the Word of God and praying about this and getting as many people as he can to pray and call in the radio show to inform people is a good thing, and that's what he should be doing. And we Christians need to be organized to rebel against that kind of stuff. Yes, okay.
Thank you. I think that's right. I think you're right about that. I think we should all pray as Christians against that spirit, even today.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we certainly should be praying for all this stuff. Okay.
Yes, I think because it's not only in Nigeria, but Christians are being persecuted all over the world, in other places of the world, and we need as Christians to pray and ask God to mm-hmm. lift that spirit from to give them lift that spirit from, because it comes from evil, and we want Christians to live. I'm a Christian. I want to live, and I want them to live. So that's why I call today, is to have him to read because he sounded dismayed when he hung up, but right. I don't like to hear people feel depressed about religion. Religion is something to be joyful about,
right? And by praying, this is the thing we need to be doing, and seeing that, asking the Lord to work. He's got to be the one who works. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you. All right. God bless. Bye. Hey, folks, we have nobody waiting right now. Let's talk about the last call a little bit and the issue of the Christians in Nigeria. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians here in America, because we don't really face persecution, we don't relate to that kind of a thing very well. We might pray once, we're done, we have to go out to dinner and be comfortable. Before I lost a son, when I would hear about people who lost children, I was sympathetic, but I wasn't empathetic. Now I'm empathetic and I understand it. And when something happens to you, it makes a concept real. Unfortunately, and it's a good thing that we've not been persecuted in America like they are over there, and I'm thankful for that by God's grace. However, we have to understand that there are Christians all over the world who are under persecution. A lot of people don't know this, but more people died for the Christian faith in the 1900s than all of history up to that point combined. Christianity is growing, and the enemy of the gospel wants to destroy Christians and destroy the Christian faith. you're praying for others outside of your community, praying for those in other areas of the world, lifting them up, is an admission of your dependence upon Christ. And it is an attempt to say, thank you, Lord, for making me aware of this so that I can pray. Now, we Christians are often very satisfied at the issue, let's just pray, we're done, we go eat dinner. Well, I wish, and I don't know where it is, but I wish there was a way for us as Christians to be able to write an email to somebody saying, are you aware of this going on at this place? You know, someplace in the government, someplace on news media, or something where Christians could do this. And what if we had this? If I had the information right now, I'd be giving it to you right now for the radio. And what if Christians started writing emails all over the place about these issues? It's going to become something that will become more known. So we can, as Christians, do the two things we're supposed to do. Pray and do. Not pray and do nothing, but pray and do. If we're going to pray, it's because we're asking God to guide. We're asking God to intervene. Sometimes you can't do anything at all. Sometimes someone's in a hospital and they're recovering from surgery. You can't go in there as a doctor and fix them. But you can say, Lord, please heal that person. That's all you can do. Pray at that point. But sometimes there's a thing what we call pray and do. And so we pray about something. Can we do anything? Well, I don't know. The Christians in Nigeria, I wouldn't even know what to type in. You know, how do we help the Christians in Nigeria? And, you know, if we're going to do something like that, maybe, I'm typing it in right now, maybe we could find out if there's some place or some ministry or something that has money going in and out we can contribute. And there's, like, just looked under persecution.com, for example, help for Nigerian Christians. Well, you know what? There it is. Respond to the violent attacks, providing much needed medical and other material assistance. You know what? And I've talked to these people, persecution.com and the organization. There's a lot of good people there. So, replacement of Bibles destroyed by Muslim extremists, provision of ministry tools for frontline gospel workers reaching Muslims for Christ. Just go to persecution.com, for example, /Nigeria, and it'll give you information right there. And that's something that we can do as Christians. And we can then continue to pray. There's the music, folks. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. And if you got questions, well, you got to wait, don't you? And you can ask them tomorrow by giving me a call. May the Lord bless you, and we'll talk to you later. We'll see you. God bless.